This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in on a Football Friday. What a weekend in college football we got. And joining us now is one of our favorites, T-Bone, Taylor Estes, at Taylor Estes 247 on Twitter. Go give her a follow, managing editor overseeing 22 different college team sites for 24/7 sports. Taylor, good morning to you. Thanks for the time in Portland. We got to start, though, down in Austin, Texas. That is unquestionably the game of the weekend. We were talking about it earlier. There's this narrative out there that, like, and I understand why. Georgia's looked vulnerable, Texas hasn't, and that Texas is just going to steamroll them. I have a hard time envisioning that, but I also didn't see Georgia falling down 28-0 to Bama in the first half. How do you feel about that game going down tomorrow in Austin?
Yeah, you know, I feel like a lot of the conversation around this game is what Nick Saban would call rat poison for a team like Texas right now, because it does seem like nobody is really even thinking that this is going to be a challenge for Texas. And that's just so surprising to me because, you know, I know Georgia may not have looked like the Georgia of the past so far this season, but they're still the number five team in the country. This is the top five matchup at home. One of the first that Texas has had, and I can't even remember the last time they had a top five matchup at home. So, you know, this is a huge game for the Longhorns. And I would say that the last thing that Texas needs is for the team to go in overconfident, because regardless of what, you know, the record is shown for Georgia this season, regardless of what happened in that game against Alabama, it's still Georgia. It's still a Kirby Smart team. It's still a team that has talent up and down the roster. And if you overlook a team like that, you are going to get punched in the mouth. And so, you know, it's definitely going to be a really big game for Texas, obviously, with College Game Day in town. F1 is going on in Austin, so there's just a ton of chaos, honestly, in Austin, and I would not be surprised if you see some chaos inside DKR Texas Memorial Stadium Saturday night.
Well, Taylor, my co-host is a Duck fan, so they're coming off a big win against Ohio State. They got Purdue tonight, and he's looking at this game, specifically Georgia-Texas, as kind of like a playoff eye of, like, what I'm polling for. Now, he says he's polling for Georgia because he wants Texas to look vulnerable. I would argue the opposite. You want to get Georgia as close to elimination from a playoff as you possibly can. But for those who haven't watched that much Texas, the Michigan game, they ended up blowing them out in that one, and Michigan hasn't looked very good this year. For those who haven't kept as close an eye on Texas, what is a vulnerability for Texas going into this game in your estimation?
You know, that's a good question. I would say potentially the running game, just because, you know, prior to the start of the season, Texas lost who was expected to be their starting running back, C.J. Baxter, to a season-ending injury in fall camp. So they've been kind of cycling through different running backs. But even that, it's hard for me to necessarily say that's a vulnerability for Texas, because they haven't really had to rely too heavily on the run game, because Quinn Ewers, when he was, you know, starting off healthy in the season and coming back, you know, he's been pretty efficient in the passing game. And Texas has such a heavy hitters at receiver too, you know, from the skill position on offense. So potentially the running game. But I really think the biggest difference with Texas this year than Texas of the past is the defense. And I don't know if people are giving the Texas defense enough credit, even though that probably sounds dumb because it is like the number one scoring defense in college football right now. It's the number one total defense in college football right now. But when you're talking about the Steve Sarkisian coach team, everybody seems to always talk about the offense. The story of the year for Texas right now is this defense. I mean, Texas has given up just 3 touchdowns in 6 games total. And that is like the best in college football, as I mentioned, that with them being number one scoring defense, allowing an average of 6.3 points per game. I mean, this defense is playing lights out. And even if the running game is, say, a vulnerability for Texas, I think this defense is talented enough to keep them in games and really honestly mask any potential vulnerabilities the offense does have, because they have just been so efficient at doing their job, getting off the field and keeping the opponents out of the end zone.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The step that they've taken from defense from last year to this year is just massive. And they were a great team last year and a playoff team last year, but a massive upgrade on that side of the ball. Taylor Estes is our guest, 24/7 Sports, at Taylor Estes 247 on Twitter. Go give her a follow. Talk about games. I don't know where the hell they're going to go and how to feel about it. It is the third Saturday in October tomorrow, and that means we get Alabama and Tennessee in Knoxville this time. Cigars are ready on both sidelines. How do I have a lean here? Like, Alabama's looked terrible the last 2 weeks, but it's Kalen DeBoer in a big game. Tennessee can't score an offensive touchdown in the first half anymore, but they only have one loss and found a way to gut that out last week. Do you got a lean or a feel on this game?
I really don't. I really, and this is going to not make me many fans of Tennessee or Alabama fans, but I will say this. I think both Alabama and Tennessee are kind of grossly overrated right now. I mean, I've really felt that way about Alabama, honestly, all year. I think, you know, it's not really his fault, but I do feel like Jalen Milroe gets way more credit than he deserves. And, you know, just like watching the game against South Carolina, you know, last weekend when they're down against South Carolina, and then Jalen Milroe throws a 34-yard touchdown pass to a wide open receiver that was clearly a busted coverage, and the announcer's like, "Oh, Jalen Milroe," and I'm kind of like, "What? Like, he even overthrew him? Like, am I watching the same guy right now?" It's just, I feel like it's, and it's not Jalen Milroe's fault. I just feel like there's this like hype train around him that's really just inflated, honestly. And I kind of feel the same about Tennessee too. You know, I feel like with both of these teams, we don't know what we don't know right now. And I don't think that's a good point to be at when you are, you know, top team, or, you know, I guess I think Tennessee might be number 11 right now, but like, you know, number 11 team in the country and a top 10 team in the country. But like, you know, that loss to Arkansas, that wasn't great at all for Tennessee, you know. And then you look at the loss to Vanderbilt, my goodness. I mean, did they ever get the goalposts out of the river there in Nashville? I don't even know. But like that, I just feel like both of these teams are just very overhyped, and they haven't delivered anything to this point that makes me think that either one of them at this point is potentially one of the best teams in the SEC. I just don't think that we've seen anything from that. And I don't really have a feel either. You know, I think, I guess since it's a home game for Tennessee, maybe they'll be able to pull it off against Alabama. But I just don't know. I feel like whoever wins this game, I still don't think I'm going to be like, oh, that is such an elite team. Because yeah. I just don't think we've seen anything from either right now.
Might be under the radar a little bit here, Taylor, or maybe everybody's kind of keeping an eye on it because they've been one of the better stories of college football. Indiana, who is undefeated and alphabetically at the top of the Big Ten because it starts with an I ahead of Oregon's O. They're hosting Nebraska this weekend. We know Nebraska's defense is feisty. Rayola's been good, but they have a target. It's a problem. They don't have a lot of great skill position players. How is your read on Cignetti, the story of Indiana in general in college football, and that schedule after Nebraska? They're hosting Washington, they're at Michigan State, and then they got a couple tough games, but there's a real chance here we could be looking or talking about a 9-0 Indiana team. What's your read on Indiana?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going into their game against Nebraska.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is as you kind of mentioned, like, this is a story that needs definitely more attention right now. I mean, what Kurt Cinetti is doing at Indiana is really impressive. And I know that, you know, they haven't had a tough schedule thus far, but you look at how much they've won by, you know, I mean, they beat UCLA 42-13. They beat Western Illinois. Sure, it was Western Illinois, but still 77-3. Charlotte 52-14, Maryland 42. They put up 41 at Northwestern. I mean, this is a team that is playing well on both sides of the ball. And you're right, like, their schedule, I mean, they have Nebraska at home. They have Washington. They go to Michigan State. Michigan State's not great. Michigan was probably the most overrated team entering the season this year. And they're, you know, at home against them. And then they have Ohio State. The Ohio State game's the toughest, but I mean, there's a very good chance that Indiana could go into that Ohio State game undefeated. And even if they lose at that point, you have to make a case for, you know, I mean, depending on the quality of wins and the way that they play, if they, you know, dominate the rest of these teams going to that Ohio State game on November 23rd, it's going to be hard not to talk about them as being one of the 12 teams potentially in the college football playoff. And that just seems so surprising. It seems like it really came out of nowhere, but Kurt Cinetti's been kind of a silent assassin, just kind of like, you know, like, really just putting this team together, this roster together, playing really, you know, complimentary football. And I think it's a great story, and it's going to be really, really fun to watch here in the latter half of the season.
Yeah, he dropped a Google me bitch in the spring, and that caught a lot of people off guard. And that was it. He's backing it up right now. That's a fun one tomorrow morning, Saturday morning against Nebraska. Taylor Estes, 24/7 Sports. Go give her a follow on Twitter at Taylor Estes 247. Always enjoy the time. I don't know if you're going to the game. If you are, enjoy it tomorrow night. I bet it's chaos down there in Austin, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Taylor Estes, our good friend, T-Bone.
Always nice catching up with T-Bone.
Good stuff from her. Do we agree on the Bama-Tennessee thing? A couple of overrated bums going at it in Knoxville tomorrow?
Well, you know, that's the thing. What's your barometer of Tennessee-Bama? Is it to win a title or make a playoff?
I would say compete for it, not win, but, like, are you in the mix to be a team if the matchups go your way in the playoffs?
Like, hard not to agree with what she said there, yeah. Though. Like, Bama, I don't think, leaves you very confident. Like, if they play Georgia again, are they getting out to 28-0? I don't think so.
Probably not. Okay. And the game was at home.
They should have lost to South Carolina this weekend. Yeah. They just lost to Vandy. And then on the other side, like, what's Tennessee doing? They didn't do anything against Arkansas. And they were in a dogfight in most of that game with Florida. They had to go to overtime.
Are we going to get this guy back?
We can't trust your ass now.
We'll bring a U-Haul to your ass.
Hell.
You in sports hell now?
Put some pressure on somebody.
Well, Nico started out good, and it's not been as good for Nico the last couple weeks. So it's a big bounce back spot for him.
Let's take a final look at the college football weekend. We'll do that next. NFL pressure cooker coming up at the top of the hour. We're back after this on The Fam.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.